Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. The Eagles improved to 8-1 after beating the Dallas Cowboys 28-23. They have a stranglehold on the division. They have the best record in the entire NFL. They enter their bye week and they come out of it with the gauntlet we've all been waiting for. Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Cowboys, Seahawks. So, well, we're going into the bye here. We'll review the game and we'll talk about, you know, halfway through the year, how we feeling, all that kind of stuff. Before we get going here, Mike, how you doing?
Feeling pretty good. Going in the bye, 8-1. It's a very nice time to pause, reflect on the season that we're quite fortunate to have thus far. First in the NFC, first in the league. I don't know if we can claim to be rooting for the best team in the league. I think that's open for debate, but can't debate the record right now. A really entertaining game last week. Certainly the game of the week in retrospect, and especially the Sunday that had a really stacked lineup. I think the Eagles game was arguably the only one that really delivered, especially from like the national point of view. Obviously
the Texans Eagles game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the early window had like unexpected good endings.
Yeah.
But certainly not like premier. Like,
right. The matchups. Like yeah. Yeah. The prestige of the matchup. But there were a couple good games throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, there was like simultaneous comebacks like in the span of minutes where
good red zone morning.
Yeah. I mean, it was bouncing around like ping pong balls there at the end. I was like, all right, Eagles coming on soon.
We got the Vikings. The Vikings game was good. Yeah,
Josh Jobs, I mean.
Yeah, I picked him up.
He certainly came out of nowhere.
The Pastronaut.
He's been really impressive. I feel like he's kind of earned like I feel like he's inked his way into like a backup quarterback job for as long as he's interested, almost in the past calendar year, which is impressive. Maybe he's got higher aspirations and there's more desperate teams down the road, but certainly surpassed many expectations. But coming back to the Eagles, 8-1, beating your division rival, even though in that last, it was the last minute in game time, but you could probably say like the last, I don't know, like 10 minutes really felt like the Eagles let this one slip away in torturous fashion. But I think they're in a really good spot right now. You mentioned they're up 2.5 in the division. Now remind me, is it the Lions who are second in the conference?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a game
over the 49ers.
Yeah, they're a game better than the 49ers.
Okay, so they're the 2 seed. Who's the 3 seed?
The 3 seed would,
well, I guess like you get into the other division winners.
Yeah, I mean Seattle or San Francisco.
Right.
I forget they lost. Right.
They get whooped.
They might be tied with the 49ers. They may have played this year. I don't remember, but they're top two in the West. I think the Saints are in first in the South. So, I mean, certainly not the Panthers. Panthers, Falcons, Saints, Buccaneers. Maybe it's Tampa. I think it's New Orleans. It would help to have pulled this up in advance.
No, I like it. We're theorizing. All right. To lead us off, just in this game review, it is the bias. Most of what we'll be talking about here is obviously
game. Yeah, the Niners are the 3 seed. Seahawks are the 5,
mm-hmm.
and Dallas, and then Minnesota. Minnesota's that final seed. The Commanders on their heels.
Yeah, Eagles better cross their fingers they don't see Sam Howell again this year.
That wouldn't be good.
All right, give me your one sentence reaction to this win over the Cowboys.
A win is a win.
Okay.
I feel like that's been like the mantra of this year, this Eagles season, and also like the last night the Sixers beat the Celtics and they almost cough up the game as well in the last minute. And there's a lot of, you know, the last minute you're pulling your hair out and this and that. It's like, no, they won. They beat the Celtics. They're the number one seed in the NBA or in the East. They might be tied for, I don't know what they're 6 or 7 and 1, 6 and 1. I mean, they could be tied for the best anyway, but the Eagles, like the first 4 or 5 weeks was, you know, they're not going to win like this, or they're not playing that well, this or that. And they just keep winning. Granted, they lost to the Jets, but they needed to have a -4 in the turnover column for that to happen.
Right.
I feel like, I mean, I guess I'll just speak for myself, but I've moved on from the, you know, ugly win or how they win matters. And now I feel like I'm in the camp of you just got to win. Like, you know, the Phillies didn't win. And they, when they were beating the Braves, you know, most of those games, they hit well, they pitched well, they did everything well. And some of the games were tight, but, you know, generally they just played up to their potential and they won the game against good teams. I mean, at least the Braves. I don't know about the Marlins. I mean, the Marlins, they killed the Marlins, so whatever. The Eagles scraped by a few of those wins and, you know, had some ugly performances, but they're 8-1. And, you know, you're not really thinking back to weeks 2, 3, and 4 on, oh, how did they look? You're stacking wins and you're putting yourself in a good position. That's all they're doing. So I am very much in the camp of they just got to win. Anyway, it takes, if you're going to cough up the lead at the end, but end up winning anyway, there's a little luck involved there. I don't know. I feel like they won the game. They gutted it out. They got lucky at points and they made plays at points. So they got lucky at in some areas, Dak stepping out, the catch at the goal line that was short, but they shut down the Cowboys that last drive with the sacks, Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat. They made their own luck in those ways. So they got it done. They won the game. And I didn't realize how, I mean, I obviously it's a big win, but, you know, you're kind of like, all right, we got out of there alive. We won the game. Let's go into the bye week, put this behind us. Like it was ugly at the end. And then, yeah, I know you don't watch as much national stuff, but on like ESPN all week is, did Dak choke? Is the loss on Dak? This and that. And every day, like these shows start with is Dak the guy? Oh, we should be happy that we played so well, even though we lost and this and that. It's like, thank God the Eagles won that game, because I couldn't take a week of it being the other way around.
People can't wait to dance on the Eagles' grave when most likely their string of lucky, just surviving it type endings comes to an end. But yeah, I agree. Like, and I don't want to start off intentionally negative, and I don't even think this is being negative per se. I think it is, you know, being honest. This is a very good team. They continually make it harder for themselves. And it feels like a relief pitcher is coming in with like a 3-run lead. Like, all right, the team has put them in a good spot. They just got to close the door, get the final out. And it's like, all right, maybe like there's an infield hit and all right, they earned it. Or maybe it's like somebody may have played a bounce wrong and it's an error. And then it's like, all right, get these outs. And then there's a single. It's like, all right, okay, just focus on the guy in front of you. And then like there's a deep fly to like the warning track and it's like, all right, we won. So it's like it's tough to feel like this won't come back to bite them at some point. I'm really glad it wasn't against the Cowboys. And yes, they are very talented. They have, you know, they've come from behind. They've sustained leads throughout the majority of their games. And they've never been out of a game. Like even in their loss, like I think their biggest deficit of the season was last year, or not last year, last week or 2 weeks ago against the Commanders. So like, they're a team with a lot of confidence. I just would like to see them clean some stuff up, notably the turnovers. This past week, they didn't have any. At least they didn't.
Cleaned up.
They weren't committing them. They did end up getting a fumble, their defense.
Turnovers on downs. They forced like two or three of those.
Yeah. That,
if you want to count that.
Right. But the other thing, like, so it's like, okay, yeah, there's three fumbles. At least they didn't lose any. And then the Eagles, when they had the lead and they could salt away the game, they have back-to-back-to-back 3-and-outs. And it's like, okay, I know, like, one of those is, like, you're trading timeouts. You're trading the other team's 3 timeouts for the ball back. And I guess that's smart. I mean, do you agree with that logic? Because it's almost like a weekly occurrence now where the Eagles have a lead, but it's not a big enough lead where this exchange doesn't come into play. And it seems like Nick Sirianni is happy to give the ball back if you give him your timeouts. Maybe it's a good trade. It's just, it seems like the Eagles defense, when that happens suddenly, they're the ones that are fighting, and it seems like the offense is very comfortable with all 4 downs to go down the field and either score a touchdown or tie with the field goal or go ahead with the field goal.
Yeah, it's tough. Like the throw to AJ that went out of bounds was a bad throw. If it was a good throw, it's not like that was in double coverage. Like he had the guy beat. I think he could have that could have iced the game there. So I think they should. The problem with at least that one 3-and-out, which I think that was the one inside the 2-minute warning, or they had the first 2 plays in the 2-minute warning and then that throw out of bounds, something like that. And then they punted. So the Cowboys got it back with like a minute 40 or whatever it was. My problem with that is they ran 2 like failed run plays. I think it was third and seven or third and six at the time. I would like a pass on second down there. So something to maybe not, you know, push it to third down. I mean, you can always run on third down and drain the clock and, you know, sort of swapping those plays, because you're either draining the clock just on third down instead of second down, or you're forcing the opponent to use the timeout, which you wanted to do anyways. So that was my problem. Like the first run play goes for no gain or a very short gain. I think it's not like the tush push. Well, I guess it is like the tush push. You need to get to that third or fourth and two spot to be able to just ice the game there. So I don't know. I would have liked a little more aggression for one of those three and outs. As far as trading the three and out for three timeouts, I don't know. It makes it a lot tougher on the opposing team. I don't think the defense did a great job at keeping them in the middle of the field.
Right.
But I don't know. The logic is there, but you have to keep them in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I feel like it's a decision you should make after evaluating what your defense has been capable of that day. Because, yeah, you know, it's, you're going up against the same quarterback who has mostly been tearing you up from five to the five.
Yeah.
It's just when you've gotten really close down in the red zone where somehow you've miraculously survived and gotten the ball back.
Well, luckily the Cowboys were bad in the red zone.
Right.
In a way, this year is sort of what we didn't have last year, at least for the offense, because the Eagles were completely dominating, blowing teams out every week for the most part last year. So there weren't too many shot for shot, you know, shootout type wins, game winning drive type wins, close games. So in a way, this is sort of Jalen's first year dealing with tighter games where the offense has to come through. That might be unfair, because last year they might have just not gone three and out two, three times to not ice the game. Mm-hmm. But it feels like this year is different in that they have a tougher schedule. I mean, the schedule is hard because it is a first place schedule, but they're also not, they haven't been affected by the first place schedule yet. Like they've played all their normal schedule teams.
Mm-hmm.
Their upcoming game's the first game of having a first place schedule. So, you know, last year, obviously they had they didn't have a fourth place schedule. They had a second place schedule. So I don't know. I don't know how much the schedule factors in, honestly, but that's what I've noticed is the major difference of last year to this year is they're not dominating as much. They're not playing as crisp, clean football as last year. But to not be so focused on the Eagles, like all teams around the league aren't playing like perfect football, you know, in week 7, 8, 9. So I think they definitely, you know, they obviously have stuff to clean up, but they're gutting out They're gutting out wins.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me. Like, they feel like they're in a very fortunate spot because I feel like they could just as easily have like three or four losses on the season. It's just they keep on coming out on the fortunate end of like, ah, that was a close one. Like,
Yeah, I don't know, 'cause
think about this past week. Think about the first Commanders game. Like, this could just as easily make this
yeah.
team 6-3.
Well, the Commanders games are the tough games for me because the Commanders aren't good. I mean, they are 4-5, so maybe they're a 500, scrappy team, but the Eagles are a lot better than them, and for whatever reason, they give the Eagles a lot of trouble. I'm not sure that I would say that. Yeah, those games could have been losses, but in both of those games, the offense also wasn't playing. It was frustrating to watch the offense for both those games. Now, I know they still put up 34 points in that first game and whatever in the second game, but it's not like the offense was completely clicking and the defense wasn't, and this and that. All that is to say is the Commanders are a team the Eagles are much better than that they should beat, and them not playing up to their own standard is the result of why it could have been a loss versus playing sloppy against a good team where you can't do that to like all the games that could have been losses were against teams where you could play that way and still win. So I don't know that I would say that they should have or easily could have had three, four losses. I mean, it's they always say, it's hard to win this league, all that kind of stuff, but I just kind of view it as they played 60% up to their potential and they still won. So I don't know. The Jets game was the only egregious example of how they played so far below their standard that it cost them, but they had to like have a really bad game to lose to that team. Whereas they could have a slightly bad game and lose to the Cowboys. So, yeah. So I guess we could get into some of the news, some of the stuff with the game. We mentioned the fumbles. DeAndre Swift was just fine. The running game the last few weeks has been not great. Although DeAndre Swift, I think, is still third amongst running backs in rushing yards, which is funny.
What'd you think about Tyler Steen?
I was just gonna say that's kind of like the big spot or the other big topic of the game. I thought he played well. I mean, I didn't really notice him. You don't notice offensive linemen and run blocking as much, except for when they're doing really well. So I'm not sure if he hit his
He had a
run
good
block.
block on the Gainwell touchdown.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. And he recovered the fumble.
Yeah, and he
Okay,
also had a
so
few like snaps where he got pants by Parsons just, and that's
right.
not like, I
That was
mean,
his first. It was his first start too.
Parsons does that to a lot of guys, so not necessarily an indictment on him, but yeah, I thought for his first like career start, he did a respectable job. And I do, I mean, going back to last time we recorded, we didn't even think that Steen starting was a likely outcome. I think there were like it was the next day that there was reports that like Steen's getting snaps with the first team. So like it's kind of a surprise it happened later in the week. I think it was last Friday maybe. So
something like that, yeah.
I am curious if Cam will be back. I imagine that's the likeliest outcome considering.
Yeah, I think they'll slot him in if he's good to go, yeah, but
so he had his window activated, so I think it's all but official that he'll be back, but it's nice to know that whether it is Steen or Sua, like there's passable depth that can hold you afloat there. But I do think the offensive line is missing Cam, and hopefully his foot's feeling better. Unfortunately, yeah, there's another mid foot sprain injury now.
Right.
And also other injuries, but we can unpack those once we're wrapped here with the offense.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like AJ Brown, obviously top two receivers in the game right now, him and Tyreek Hill. But Devontae Smith had a really nice catch on a really nice throw, or I would argue a nicer throw than catch by Jalen Hurts. And he seems to be getting like maybe four catches a game, and one of them's always like a 40-yard touchdown or something like that. So he is definitely getting, you know, some stats. He's not taking over games like AJ Brown does, but it's been interesting to see the development of both of them. Devontae's going to have to get paid very soon. I think maybe this off season. So, you know, there's videos on social media of sideline stuff, and he's hyping up the defense. He's, you know, a very vocal leader on the team, and that's a strong quality besides his play on the field. So those are thing, and he's very funny in a lot of those videos too.
Did you catch the video of AJ Brown getting like peroxide?
Right, yeah.
Oh, that was so funny.
That was a good one. But he's, you know, he is the 1B, I think, more solidified these last few games to AJ Brown. So it's been interesting to see their the dispersal of passing to both of them. And I don't know, he's still doing, you know, getting targets, getting yards, scoring touchdowns. He's just not as, you know, all over the field, I guess. But I feel like we haven't seen crazy toe taps from him as much this season as previous years. Couple, but not too. I mean, that touchdown
I think you're maybe underselling his catch. It was pretty good. I know that it was like a stellar throw, but
yeah,
by no means is that an ordinary catch. Like that still takes, I mean, that was really good coverage. It was a perfect throw. You still need a
how easy I forget from our wide receiver core just 3 years ago.
Right. What did you think about Hurts?
Yeah, I mean, the knee is not ideal. I thought he played really well. It didn't seem like he was hampered by it too much. I think he's shown that he can dominate games from the pocket, and it's becoming...
that has been a nice silver lining of him not being his typical mobile self.
Yeah, after he hurt the knee, and then they go into the half, and then he comes out, he runs and slides for a first down. The slide was on the hurt knee, and he just kind of popped up and went back. So it's interesting how, I mean, when he hurt it, I think it was a helmet that hit his knee, so that's understandable that that hurt more than, you know, a slide would. But it's interesting to see how he is or isn't hampered by it. He makes throws. you know, he it's obviously bothering him with his selfishly, I'm glad the bye week came now, or it couldn't have come at a better time comment. I thought he looked amazing. I don't know. I don't have any complaints, and every week, you know, he does this, it's more fortunate and more reason to really take in that we have him on our team. And it was a Jalen versus Dak classic Cowboy Eagles Cowboys game, and I feel like we haven't gotten that kind of matchup and quality of game in a while, and I don't know, it's nice, and it may have reinvigorated the rivalry a bit more.
Yeah, I think it was really key that he was smart with the ball up against a very turnover happy defense, and this was a game where, you know, you couldn't afford that, so it's nice to see him move the ball as a pocket passer, but not put the ball in danger, for sure.
All right, let's talk about the defense. Do you have anything else on the offense?
No, let's talk defense.
All right. Well, Dak really picked them apart for pretty much the entire game. I mean, they give up 23 points. That's anything over 20 is not great, but only a field or, you know, 3 points over 20. So not the best day for the defense. They did only give up 6 points in the end, in the second half. So if you want to look at that independent of the final few minutes of the game, you could say they dominated towards the end. But I felt that Dak did a really good job at, you know, the play breaking down, scrambling, and finding an open guy. Jake Ferguson had a big day for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Dak really navigated the pocket well. Like, there weren't really many sacks until the very end, and those were very crucial.
Right.
But for the majority of the game, like, Eagles pressure was creeping in, and I thought he was doing a really good job of navigating the pocket and also getting out of the pocket. Like, he was nimble. He wasn't like evacuating the pocket too early. Like, I thought he did a really good job, and he was making it tough on the pass rushers for majority of the game. And that's something that I would love to see Jalen, and, like, I guess maybe this isn't a good thing to ask for now, because obviously he's not his healthiest right now, especially in his one leg. So maybe that's an unfair thing. But I think, like, long term, looking at, like, Dak's not nearly as athletic as he once was, or he certainly doesn't carry himself as he used to when he was, like, you know, pretty significant injury. I do think that is, like, something that would really take Jalen's skill set to the next level. Maybe that's something that you just acquire over the years in the NFL, and I certainly think he has that capability, but it was just something that was quite stark. Like, you know, Eagles pass rush is getting there, but Dak's kind of, like, weaving in and out, finding just the right spot to either get outside of the pocket or creep up or slide. So overall, yeah, I thought he played well. He really attacked the Eagles soft middle. CeeDee Lamb almost had 200 yards. Ferguson, like, you know, hopefully
the new Jason Roby, Witten.
Hopefully Bradley Roby is going to be healthy come after the bye, which I think is likely. But I'm also just not sure how much that's really going to matter. Like, Eli Ricks, good for an undrafted free agent. Like, I think there's, like, potential long-term upside, but I don't think he's plugging any hole that you feel great about. Like, I like to see Sidney Brown on the field, but, like, quite similar. Like, he's not a guy that he can really, like, he makes some splash plays here and there, and he has some hard hits, and like he's a nice feisty energy guy at the moment, but like their coverage is just real bad right now.
Yeah, it's tough. You're a Super Bowl contending team with, you know, rookies either late round or undrafted that you're relying on.
You can even extend that to like Byard. It's just like, and I know,
yeah,
like,
I don't know how much time
to adjust, yeah. But it's just like, I don't know. I don't, like, I think Blankenships, he's doing a pretty good job. Slay, I think you can always count on him. Bradbury.
I mean, Bradbury's been getting beat more and more.
So,
and penalties. So that's definitely concerning. But to your point about Dak, it feels, you know, they didn't really have to contain him. Like, he did run a little bit, but, or, you know, or they did a good job of containing him. I wouldn't say but he's not, you know, Lamar Jackson. So the losing contain on him is more letting him scramble outside the pocket. And it just seemed like he had either more time or an easier time when he did scramble to find an open receiver. And I don't know, to your point, if that is years, like, with guys. I mean, he's been with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup a number of years. I mean, Ferguson, I guess not as long, but to me it feels like when Jalen rolls out, when he rolls out and doesn't basically make a throw immediately, and he's directing traffic and this and that, they haven't really converted too much. And that might be unfair, but it feels like anytime Jalen like directs traffic while he's running towards the sideline, it never ends up in a completion. And that's probably extreme, but Dak just had such an ease of scrambling and finding people. And maybe that's to Jalen's credit of being just throwing the ball away if something's not there and not playing hero ball. Like, that's the contrast with Carson.
Carson.
Yeah, which we'll get to that. But I don't know. I felt the difference in, you know, watching the Eagles for 8 games, and Jalen sort of gets pushed out of the pocket and throws it down the sideline, and it is a catch, or it is, you know, or it's inbounds or it's not inbounds. Like, a lot of tight plays. And I just felt like as the game went on, the Eagles D line was putting a lot of pressure on Dak, pushing him out of the pocket and, you know, chasing him down while he was scrambling. But every time he scrambled, he made a completion to, you know, felt like Ferguson each time. So that would be an interesting thing to see how, when Jalen scrambles, the ease at which he finds guys open. And I don't know. That's just the impression I got watching Dak scramble. And the broadcast was very vocal about Dak extending plays, and, you know, you can only cover a guy so long before they get open. So,
yeah, here's a stat. You tell me if this feels, I guess, give me a guess. So the count between third and fourth attempts, which the Cowboys had 21 of, how many did they complete?
On third and fourth down?
Yeah, combined. So there was 21 attempts.
I feel like that was high. So 15?
Oh, no, not that high. It was 9. But I kind of see where you're coming from. I'll be like, I'm seeing it and you're guessing blind.
It felt like 15.
The Eagles are just, and again, maybe this is like, you know, first world NFL team problems. The Eagles feel so vulnerable and long. Like it almost, and like, so part of that I think is like the Eagles,
they play at the sticks
in exchange,
but they play for, soft coverage too.
Yeah, in exchange for protecting against the deep passes, which I think there is an argument to defend that, but it's just whenever it's like third and seven or like third and long, it's just like, all right, well, some receiver is gonna get the ball 5 yards downfield uncontacted and like falls forward. It feels like that happens like guaranteed 3 times over the course of the game, and that maybe it's just like that is so frustrating as a fantasy, but maybe that's just a built-in acceptance of the defense, because I don't know, like I see the players' reaction, just like, all right, new set of downs, that's okay, because we didn't give up a long touchdown. And maybe over the course of a season, that math is like very obvious, but in the moment it feels terrible. It feels like,
yeah,
you gave up a field goal. Like that's the, it's just like, oh man, we could have gotten off the field, but now we got to start from scratch.
When I was a kid and frustrating stuff would happen like that, I would get even more mad because the players weren't mad about it. And now when I get mad, it's more conflicting because I don't want players to get mad about that in the same way. Like, of course, I don't want them to be like, all right, like they got the first down, that's fine. But you don't want them to be like over the top angry to the point where they're making more mistakes or getting penalized, or, you know, you want them to be, you know, keep their head in that way. So it's interesting to like be so mad at people and like yell and scream, either if you're at the game, which we rarely are, or at the TV when they obviously can't hear us. But it's funny to get that mad and watch the players not react in the way that you're feeling, which is jarring to some extent. And also that's the reaction you want them to have too. So it's sort of this weird, contrast of emotions that are going on that are bumping up against each other. But yeah, to your point, you know, they can't really say or confirm fan suspicions or whatever on what they're willing to give up or not because of competitive advantage and all that, and they're not going to talk about that. So it's stuff to debate season to season or game to game, whatever. I can buy that. I think it over the course of a game, maybe their analytics or whatever tells them, you know, oh, it's less possession or it's less drives for the other team. So I mean, it's more time and less time for you to have the ball. So maybe it doesn't, I don't know exactly how it all works out like that, but you know, if they have the ball long, I don't know. Maybe it's some chestnut checkers clock management.
Yeah. Let's talk about kind of, you know, we mentioned the Eagles were on the good side of a bunch of outcomes, almost, you know, fumbles aside, almost all of it was the Eagles defense versus the Cowboys offense. The 4th-and-1 Dak throw to Schoonmaker, initially it's ruled a touchdown. Upon further review, they don't overturn the catch, but they say he's short. Turnover on downs. The Eagles get the ball like inside their 1 yard line. That was crazy. I still don't know what that call, like, I don't think, like, I am glad that, obviously, I'm glad that the outcome was the outcome, but I also, like, there's now debate over, like, should that have been the call beyond if he broke the plane of the goal line, or if he should have completed the process by surviving the ground, which probably would have taken him further and crossing. Like, there's just always so many, like, it's a shame the NFL has still very little clarity on what is a catch and what constitutes a catch. But I also think, on the other hand, it's insane how many instances that pop up over the course of the season. It's like, wow, I don't even know how you're supposed to rule on that. Like, I don't know what a catch should be.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think you could have designed a play that would put as much scrutiny on what a catch is as what happened 4th and 1 there. Like, it's just like, well, I think you can only get so close to, like, what is accurate or true. And I think they got as close as you reasonably could get without opening a whole another.
Yeah, it was sound logic on the ruling why they overturned it. So I think if it didn't make any sense, or if they were referencing some rule no one heard of, or they were interpreting the rules in a way that felt, you know, that they were twisting rules and stuff like that, there would have been heavier debate. I think, you know, Chris Sims is an Eagle hater, and he's, you know, tweeting. Just
single-handedly fueling all engagement from angry Eagles fans. And I'll say that, yeah, like, rightfully so. He's had some really garbage takes over the course of the past few years.
Right. So that was four. I think there's like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter at the time of that play. So it's interesting to think of what turned the course of the game and this and that. Like, you know, if you're down, you're going to call plays different. You're going to play different. So it would have changed a lot more than just like, oh, they would have had, you know, 7 more points or whatever. I think the Dak stepping out on the 2-point conversion was the more fortunate play of the two, just because it was later in the game. It would have changed the last drive for the Cowboys. They would have went to overtime, all that stuff. And also, you know, Brandon Graham chased him out, and Dak made a poor decision. Instead of taking the hit, he tried to go around him. So in a lot of ways, it isn't just Dak happened to have stepped on a little bit of the white. It's a lot of different factors going into that play that, you know, that yielded that result. So it wasn't all luck, but that I think was the more fortunate of the two plays. And, you know, that's the difference between winning and losing. Couple half inches, 1 inch. I don't know.
Let's just quickly recap the final drive of the game. The Cowboys, after the Eagles punt, start at their own 14 with no timeouts and only 46 seconds left. You think that this is in the bag, you know, maybe they take like a
thought it was in the bag when they stopped them on 4th and 7 or whatever the drive before.
Yeah. I mean, to go back to back to back 3 and out is, that's terrible. when you can end the game with the ball in your hands and we end up having this, like, we didn't even talk about the the DeAndre Swift and AJ Brown bumping into each other
right.
and creating a fumble, like one of the worst unforced errors you'll ever see in professional sports.
I thought right moment. Before that play, like, you just can't fumble this.
Yeah, you could say that a handful of times this year.
Right.
So they're at the 14, 46 seconds left, no timeouts. They need to score a touchdown. A field goal is nothing. They get all the way down to the Eagle 6 after a series of penalties, including the Bradbury.
There was the pass interference that got them to midfield, and then there was another pass interference. Wasn't there?
Two? I don't think there was two. I think it was that and then a catch from CeeDee Lamb. But maybe I'm forgetting another calamitous.
There were like two big penalties.
So yeah, they're at the 6th. The following plays happen. Tyler Smith.
Oh, it was roughing the passer.
Oh, that's right. That was on Reddick.
That's
I forgot
on Reddick.
About that.
Yeah.
At first I thought that was like a crazy call. Like it looked like it was incidental contact.
Yeah, he came in late.
And like it looked like he was like looking upfield and he bumped into them or into Dak.
Yeah.
And like I guess my initial reaction was like, wait, what? Like it's like this guy's just like bumping in traffic.
But yeah, the replay was super slow too. So yeah. It made
I think
it
I need to see what happens in real time, but
yeah.
You just can't do that. Like it's dumb, and maybe it is gracious towards the Cowboys, but nonetheless, Tyler Smith, he has a false start, so that bumps him back to the 11. Then Dak Prescott gets sacked by Josh Sweat, and we're talking live ball here. Nobody has timeouts left. Josh Sweat goes to the sideline and celebrate, but he's got to line up for
that was
snap.
Funny.
It's like, dude, what are you doing? Great play and all, but like, don't forget there's still a game going on. So they lose crucial yardage. They lose crucial time there. And then Prescott, he has an incomplete pass to Tolbert, who had a surprisingly good game for mostly a special teamer. Then there was another penalty delay of game on Dak Prescott, which is pretty crazy coming off an incomplete pass. And then it's the last play of the game, and Dak Prescott throws it short of the sticks. The Eagles at that point are playing sticks defense, sticks being the goal line here because it's the end of the game, last play of the game. So he throws it to CeeDee Lamb, who's maybe like 5 yards. He's at the Eagles 5, seeing if he can run around the sticks. And he doesn't make it. He fumbles. Eagles win. What a, it's just a crazy, crazy last few minutes. To think that you're at the 6-yard line, down a touchdown with.
Down 5.
Yeah, sorry, down 5. But you have all downs.
Yeah.
So like you just take shots. And they don't. They don't get anything. They lose.
Do you think if the Eagles were in that position, they would have just tush-pushed 6 yards?
No. Come on.
They could have.
No. I think with the...
They get 2 every play.
Yeah, but there's no time stoppage. There's no timeouts.
Right, I forgot.
So you're just taking shots. You're at the 6.
Yeah, that's true.
All you need is a short pass.
I forgot about the timeouts.
Yeah, so, I mean, talk about just blowing an opportunity. And I know that there were, like, I don't know what Dak's supposed to do if suddenly Josh Sweat is in your face because Terrence Steele is just getting beat. He had like a Jamon Brown type game. Like he was just getting toasted snap after snap. So
he was fixing his gloves.
Credit Reddick, Sweat, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. Like they weren't there the whole game as far as like getting to the quarterback, but they really showed up when they absolutely needed to.
Yeah, so that's been a theme of some of these like closeout times of the D-line. Like they seem to get home to ice games.
Yeah, no, I mean it's huge.
It's good timing there. So they come away with the win. It was ugly. What did you think when they had first and goal from the six?
I mean, I was just in awe of the whole last drive. They start at the 14 with less than a minute with no timeouts, and they just, it's like they like teleported down the field. And I know that like the penalties, like I don't think either penalty was unfair. I thought that like the combination was egregious. Like, all right, it's an underthrown ball. I know that like what the hell is a defender what the hell is a defender supposed to do on an underthrown ball? Like,
it's like the foul grifting on threes.
Don't they have equal opportunity of the ball? It's not the wide receiver's ball. So like the wide receiver shouldn't have claim to the ball if they're like, ah, you can't come to me. It's like, all right, I'm fighting for the ball.
Doesn't the DB have to turn to the ball though? Or make a play on the ball? Because he was running into the receiver and didn't really turn.
Well, there's plays like on balls that aren't underthrown and the DB's like glued and not turning their back. If they just stick their hands up and they don't know where the ball is and they hit it, or like the ball hits their helmet, like that's all fair game.
Yeah.
It's smart. Like it's like a cheat code that the wide receiver can jump back toward the ball through the defensive back and like play for the ball, because obviously they know it's coming. DB doesn't, so like it's like free money. I think it's like it's one of the parts of the game that rewards bad play, which is that's a bad pass. Don't give them free yards. Like that should either be a catch on a good ball, or it should be a contested catch, or something that's like, you know, a situation in which they can catch the ball. Like I almost think if it's on the other side of the coin, if it's overthrown and it's uncatchable, they'll pick that flag up or they won't throw it because you didn't make a good enough throw. It's just, it doesn't cut back the other way.
Yeah.
But I said like that, I mean, Jalen Hurts has done the same thing. I think every quarterback and every cornerback is aware of that. It's just unfortunate to see that in a moment like that, combined with the roughing call. But when they got to the six, I was like, oh yeah, no, I mean, terrible. This was like a nice entertaining game, and it's spoiled.
Yeah, I can't remember how being that mad.
You can't remember?
I was more mad the last minute there than I have been. Like for the Phillies, I was pretty defeated, but I wasn't as angry, and that was like pure rage.
Watching a baseball game slip away is like depressing, but it's not anger inducing.
Yeah, football is anger inducing, but
yeah, football's like, oh come on. Football's just like quiet.
Right. All right. Well, the Eagles are 8-1. And they go into the bye, they come out, they play the Chiefs in Kansas City on Monday Night Football in 19, that's not right, 19 days. Isn't it on the 20th? Yeah, on the 20th, 19, 11 days.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Why am I, today's the 9th.
Sorry, it's the bye week.
Yeah, that's the bye week for everyone. All right. Anything else?
Let's talk on the second half of the season real quick. We'll answer the same question. So this will give us time to think about both sides of it here. Guy that we're not talking about right now that we'll be talking about much more later in the season, A, in a good way, and B, in a not so good way. So Let's end on a positive note, which means we'll start on a negative one. So you tell me.
So is this like a bold prediction?
I mean, I think inherently it's like a little bit of a call because if we're not talking about them now, I think that means it's a bit unexpected. Like, we kind of know, like, you know, the important players here. That being said, they can be a starter, but maybe just not a star.
All right. Well, we kind of mentioned him, you know, not 5 minutes ago, but I think if the, you know, the penalties and the struggles continue, I think James Bradberry will be a guy negatively that we talk about throughout the season. And, you know, in an already weak secondary, and you only have Darius Slay, if Byard, you know, takes a while to catch up, you know, I think Bradberry is a big piece. And if he's lost a step, if he, you know, gets penalized often, I think that's going to be a big problem, especially going up against, you know, Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and those guys. You know, maybe Debo comes back for the 49ers, and, you know, different, you know, strong receivers to go up against. It can't be all on Darius Slay.
No, I think that's a good answer, and I don't want to like double dip in the secondary because I feel like
that's the weakest one.
I'm gonna go after one of your my guys, and maybe this is just the way we can get in the injury updates, but I'm going to say N'Kobe Dean, and I'm not picking on him because he's now injured, but he has been quite underwhelming in his second year. When he's healthy and on the field, he's not really flashing. He is, I mean, right now he's being outplayed by street free agents. Both Cunningham and Morrow taking snaps in front of him. He's likely going to head to the IR with the Lisfranc injury, similar to, I think, Cam Jurgens. I hope he gets healthy and he's back with this team for the playoff run. I think it's just like, and I know it's his second year, so like maybe this is more of a year three thing, but like need to see a more productive, healthy player contributing. And like I think Morrow and Cunningham have been nice surprises, and it's like you don't want the surprises to be nice there. You want the surprises to be like, oh, N'Kobe Dean is the guy from Georgia. So
right.
I do think he's got some cover with those guys, but and of course want him healthy and back with his team ASAP. But even when he's been on the field, he's been pretty disappointing so far.
Yeah. On the other side, I think I'll prop up one of my guys and say Cam Jurgens is going to be the guy that we talk about, mostly because, you know, the first few weeks when he was in there, run game was best in the league. So not to say it's only on Cam, but I think either by good fortune, you know, happenstance or merit, him returning and staying healthy will revitalize the run game there. And you know, it's a big I mean, any O-line position's a big one, but, you know, right guard's been locked up for a while with Seumalo and Brandon Brooks. He was on the right side, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, Dickerson so, too before he switched.
Yeah, so that side's been pretty much locked up for a while, and yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with a rookie, and not Jalen Carter, because I feel like we all know how good he is now. Right. But I'm going to go with the other one, drafted in the first round. That's Nolan Smith. He hasn't seen the field a lot. And I think there's been some curiosity and mild concern that maybe he's just not cracking that rotation because he hasn't quite earned those snaps. He did have his first sack 2 weeks ago, I believe. The Eagles had Derek Barnett as an inactive last week. Now, that didn't change too much in the snap counts for Nolan Smith. So I still think he's got a ways to go, but given the amount of snaps that Reddick and Sweat and the other guys on the defensive line are taking, I think he's going to have to step up in like more of a role player type of way. But I still have a lot of faith in him. I think he, on other teams, he'd probably be seeing a lot more time and would be out there producing. It's just he's had limited opportunities so far. And as we know thus far in the season, the Eagles need to ride their defensive line. That is the thing that is buoying their defense. And I wouldn't be surprised if down the stretch here, like he'll have some impact plays. You never want to predict any injuries, but it's nice to know that there's depth in that talented room. And I think Nolan Smith has it. It's just, he's got to find the opportunities, and he's just got to go out there and, get a little bit of that, that rookie optimism. I feel like he's just kind of been on the fringes. So would love to see him get a little bit more of the spotlight when that time comes.
Yeah. Brandon Graham got, more, I don't know about his snaps per game and all that, but he got more time in the spotlight last game. So it feels like the time of year where the rotation guys you haven't really seen too often might get a little more run, especially with injuries or keeping guys fresh as the back half of the season comes in. So yeah, I think that would be really exciting for Nolan Smith to get some more run and get some more production. What do you think about Rashad Penny? Think they're saving him for this tough stretch?
I think we would have seen him if they really liked him in that type of way.
Yeah. Well, he might be another depth guy that's going to get more rotation.
Yeah, maybe. Real quick, we should mention Dallas Goedert. He unfortunately did break his arm there. So
dirty, dirty hit.
I don't know. I saw people talking about it. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, when you slow it down and zoom in and all that, it kind of doesn't look great. But I mean, he's a much smaller defender against Dallas Goedert. I can imagine in the heat of the moment.
It's a shame his injuries are like so fluky.
Yeah.
Obviously he's a big part of their offense. Like you don't like that's the obvious statement of the year, but he does contribute a lot both in their passing game and their running game. A silver lining is they went through this last year where they didn't have him. They do have their star receivers. Jack Stoll is a good blocking tight end. I don't know what you can expect in any big sense from Calcaterra, who's still dealing with the concussion, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, you realize how thin you are at tight end when Goddard goes down. You got Albert O and...
Yeah, can you say his last name?
Do you remember? Okwuegbunam.
There you go. Impressive. Yeah, and Quez, I think he's coming back soon.
Great.
Maybe we see more Julio Jones. I know people were hypothesizing him as a tight end.
Yeah. Well, so, Jordan Matthews got signed, so.
You're right.
And your guy, Richard Rodgers.
Yeah, Dick Rod's still out there. So, we'll see. Eagles, I mean, like Jalen said, this is a really good time for the bye to, like, evaluate how to plan for no Dallas Goedert, getting healthy. Unfortunately, some of these guys are likely to go on the IR, but getting back Cam, getting back Roby. So not trades any person would make, but we'd certainly take some guys in exchange if guys are getting injured. So
before we on to the Chiefs, before we get out of here, congratulations to Carson Wentz signing with the Los Angeles Rams.
That's right.
Well, at least I look forward to seeing how that works out. And we'll be back next week to preview Eagles Chiefs in KC. In the meantime, for Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.